Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to Stephen Nyman's Slopeside, Boulder, Colorado. I'm George Thomas. Stephen, how's it going today?
Going good, George. Back in Park City. Last week's wrapped up. That was hectic. I'd like to do episodes more frequently, but I just didn't really have time last week.
Well, you've got four races under your belt this season. What's it like to be home? Is this kind of a nice relaxation? What's going on?
Yeah, basically. Come home, a few days off. I'm kind of just packing up my house so I can rent it for the winter because I'm moving to Europe until end of March, and that's my focus now. Everything's going that way. And renting it on VRBO if anybody wants to rent. it's go time over there now, so I'm just trying to find all the pieces because once I jump the pond, it's hard to get anything over there. So,
Now, Birds of Prey, you had a fun day before practice. Tell us about your practice days and then leading into the races.
Yeah, I took a day off, helped my buddy out to ski, we did a podcast on that. And last year, before the World Cup, I taught my nieces out to ski, so that was a lot of fun, too. Just kind of get my mind off of things, but then it's on. And this is America's World Cup. This is our time to put on a show, and it's hectic for anybody on the U.S. team. There's a lot of obligations, a lot of people pulling you left and right, and it's chaos, and it's managing that time. And with my success last year, there's definitely a lot of people pulling me here and there, and I need to get better at saying no. But you want to capitalize on those opportunities too, because it's rare, but it's funny because people want you to. So many people are there cheering for you, want you to win, expect you to win. And then, I don't know, I did okay. I skied well. I had a couple mistakes that were critical, and you just can't do it. And so I lost that podium, but I still was 15th. And I'm happy with my skiing. I'm happy with my technical ability. There's just a few little things. I think it's just little mental shifts, and I think that'll really help to get to Europe and get away from everything and kind of get in my little world and zone.
And I was wondering about that. I think that'd be a show all in its own, but it is how you're handling the stresses that come from doing so well in Birds of Prey the last couple of years. And having so many people expect so much out of you when you're not even on course. I mean, what's that like getting pulled in all sorts of directions? It's got to really affect your focus.
Yeah, there's focus, and they're sitting there really thinking about racing, yada, yada, yada. But it's like, I'm not that way. I don't want to sit there and just like ponder on everything all day long. But when you're being hold here to go to this show, to go to this dinner, to go sign autographs here, it's always the same questions, it's always the same thing. You're actually just not it's more just monotonous and kind of mind numbing to me. So that's what's tough. And then your routine of getting back, eating food, taking a nap, getting a full recovery in spinning on the bike or going for a run, doing a lift, like priming the body, it just doesn't happen, you know? You're definitely, I need to be able to regulate that better in the future. But I came in there knowing that, and I was just kind of, was dumb.
Now, I saw your picture that you posted on Facebook. Great one of you. You're going around the gate, making a left-hand turn, and all of a sudden you say, this is right before it all went wrong. What happened?
That was when it went wrong. You can see my upper torso was pretty upright. I was in the back seat. That turn is a bank turn, and I came in there pretty direct. I was in race mode and really focused, trying to go, and I needed to really drive over that thing. But when I went in direct and really hit on the edge, it got me back. And then when I lost ground contact, I was in the back seat and landed and had to throw it sideways to get back on course. So it's a bummer, but you got to risk it sometimes to really try and push for that top spot. And especially on a course like that, there's such high demand. And with the way some guys are skiing right now, you need to really throw down. What I'm kind of bummed on is my approach in sections. That section is a very technical, steep section. It's not my strength. And what I need to do is ski solid there and then really go for it in the sections that I know I'm fast at. And I came into that and went too hard. I tried making up time on that section, which I'm not the greatest at. And so I made a mistake, which shifted my mindset to really go, go, go. And then I got onto the flats, which is my forte, and I went too straight there and ground on that. And then down bottom, I lost my footing down there. And so in the section that I should do really well on, I went too hard on that, like above and beyond what I should have and what I was planning on doing because I messed up higher. So it's just kind of a, you got to really go for it where you know you have your strengths and then ski solid on those sections that you are good at but not great at, you know.
And tell us about the Super G.
Super G was actually, it was funny. Yeah, I didn't get points. I was 32nd. But into the last split, I was like 17th or 18th, and I skied really well up top. Off Golden Eagle, down into the abyss, and then the course was set very technical, very turny across the hill, which is not my thing. And you saw the podium. It was basically Hersher, who's never won a Super G before, who's just
right.
World's greatest GS skier, along with Ted, who was second, the world's greatest GS skier. And then Weibrecht is a very technical speed skier, and those three were the podium. There was no really traditional speed skiers that were even up there. So I was actually pretty proud of being that fast into that section. And then in the bottom, it started swinging, and I was like stoked at how I was skiing, and I went at one turn a little too direct, and I started, we call it pinching off the turn. So that brought my turn pressure to the bottom of the turn, and I was resisting gravity a lot and just being really hard on the edges, and not being fluid and energetic and building speed. I was just resistant. And so that knocked me back to 32nd. It was a really tight race. They moved the start down, just due to the snow. So, you had to go, go, go. And I, again, went a little too hard down there. I don't have the ability when I go straight like that to whip a turn off and get back online. Andrew and Ted, the smaller guys, have that ability. They can lay it over and just kind of hammer a turn off, whereas I'm long and I have a lot of body mass to move left and right. So it's hard for me to do something of that nature. I need to really kind of set my tempo and tone and stick with that instead of trying to make it all up at a turn where those guys can do that. I was grinding.
Now, I want to get into the head of an athlete at your level. When you look at a course like that before you run it, what's going through your mind? Are you thinking, I'm not going to win this one? I mean, I think so many of us would see something that's not our forte and think, well, you know, I'm racing for top 20.
Actually, I looked at it, and at World Championships last year, I was fast on the upper steeps, which isn't my thing. And I'm feeling really comfortable on my Super G skis right now, and I was ready to hammer down that thing. Yeah, they took out the first six gates, and I was like, oh, this is actually even better for me. So I can maybe get my best Super G result on a World Cup ever, which would probably be, I think it's like sixth or fifth or something.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Something like that. And so I could shoot for a podium. I could do something here. And so I was going, and I'm running the back of the pack. So the course isn't as clean, but the weather was iffy. And then it kind of cleared for our group back there. And so I was like, this is it. I can do something here. And I saw what people were doing. I saw the mistakes they were making. So I knew how to really approach it. And realistically, with a course set like that, yeah, I shouldn't be able to do that well, but I was doing good. And then came the mistakes, I guess. So I just had to really, I have to keep a cool head. I get really fired up sometimes with the home crowd around.
What was that like? Are you aware? I know I've mentioned this before, but are you aware of the crowd at all as you're going? Or does it just all of a sudden, you know, roar in over you at the finish line?
No, not at all. I'm not like, oh, they're down there. You can hear people. We had a great day. Andrew was on the podium. Andrew was on the podium. Ted was on the podium. Travis was sixth, maybe. Biesmeier came from the back into 11th. Very strong technical skier. He's a young kid coming back from injury. And you can hear where we were starting. You can hear the crowd go off, and you're like, ooh, he had a good run. This is good. And so you know it's there, but when I'm in the gate, I can't hear anything. I'm not. Like, I'm full on in the zone. And when the crowd really comes into play, it's when you cross the line and you look up and you're like, are flags waving? Are people going crazy? Because if they're going crazy, you know you had a good run. And then, you're looking at their column, you're like, oh. Because they're in it with you, you know? They're fired up, and they want you to do well. And when you come across, there's usually like, yeah, my family and friends that are cheering me on. And you're like, okay, I did all right, you know? But if everybody's going nuts, you're like, yeah, I was good.
Now, you're home. You're getting ready to rent your house out. What else are you doing in preparation to moving to Europe?
Little blocks off like this, these 5 days, 4 days. It's physical prep, keep my body primed. I got home. I weighed 213. I haven't weighed this light in a long time. I'm kind of bummed, actually, so I need to kind of get back lifting, get my body going again. That's important to me. Just get my diet, eat a lot, get that recovery to where my body and mind is ready to handle the next races in 2 weeks in Valcartena.
And that one is pretty special for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good one, and obviously I have great history there. It's the only place I've won, but I've won there 3 times. It's a flatter hill with a lot of terrain, and I love it. I really enjoy racing the hill and the challenges it brings to me. Some guys complain about it. Ted will complain about it all day that it's this glorified cat track, but Ted isn't very good at jumping, you know? Like, he's not good with the terrain. And like I said, you got to take advantage of the strengths that you have. I have the long legs. I have the ability to really move over the terrain. It's just something that I'm good at, and I really communicate with this course. So I'm stoked to get back there, and I hope to kind of really improve on my season's results. It's funny because I'm complaining about a 15th and a 16th, which are fine results. Like, back when I got on the team, those are great results. People would be stoked, but I have higher expectations, and I want to do better. So, and I know I can do better. So, yeah, I definitely want to improve on that and really set the tone in a different manner.
Now, race weight, 213, what's ideal for you?
220, 225, kind of my fighting weight. The momentum sport, and every pound. Like, we spend a lot of time in the wind tunnel, and we're checking out our positions, what's the most aerodynamic. There's this guy in Buffalo, Mike Holden, who tests missiles, but on the side, he built a little wind tunnel for Olympians to go in there, for bobsledders, skiers, losers, whoever. Go check out your aerodynamics. And he built this algorithm that you can punch whatever in, the grade of the slope, your drag, your mass, and it calculates how much time you would save if it was that perfect condition the whole way down. And the biggest difference maker is weight. Like, if you're carrying in an extra 10 pounds, that's like guaranteed momentum. If you open up in your tuck and you don't have that 10 pounds, that's going to slow you down that much quicker. If you have that 10 pounds, it's going to blow through the wind much better. So, I don't know if I can get 10 pounds back before Gardena, but yeah, it's definitely something I need to do.
And how do you go about that? I mean, you've got to change your diet at all?
I think priming my body, just working out, giving it a reason to really want to recover. And then, yeah, good food, constantly eating really good food. And hammering down protein shakes. People think I'm crazy, but I like protein shakes, but I like protein shakes with raw eggs. I like real food. I like putting that down. And so that's kind of my thing. And then I got a protein sponsor, Clean Life USA. They make really high quality protein that's free of any antibiotics. And it has colostrum in there. And it has, it's basically the most premium milk you can get. And so hammer down a bunch of those too.
Now, can we step back just a little bit? Because you were just named as the ambassador for the SOS Foundation. Is that correct?
SOS Outreach. Yeah, they basically take out at-risk youth and try and get them on the ski hill, give them the opportunities that we have as ski racers, as mountain people. And it's something I've kind of dreamt of, and it's an idea I've tossed around. Is every ski town, we live the life, and our towns are actually supported by smaller towns outside. So here in Park City, we have Heber City down below, and the income rate is definitely a lot lower there, and they can't afford to ski. Not everybody skis, whereas up here, that's life. And their families, though, make this town run. And they're the people that allow us to live this way. And I always thought that's just that's unfair. We need to get those kids the opportunities that we have. And so I thought maybe getting Spider and Fisher and whoever to donate a bunch of gear, and every spring we have nationals this year at the Sun Valley, so we could get all the kids from Haley down the valley and bring them up and teach them how to ski, and they're all getting taught by Olympians and America's best skiers. I thought it'd be really cool, but the plan never came to fruition. And then I met SOS Outreach, and they basically do the same thing, and they do it better. They have an accountability program where kids get this opportunity, yet they have to go back. They have to give community service, and they have to understand that they're responsible for what they're doing. And it's pretty cool. So it's huge in Colorado. Vail is a huge supporter of this program. And now they just opened up an office in Park City. And so I plan to do a lot of work with them this spring.
And you're the first athlete, I believe, that they've had as an ambassador, correct?
Yeah. Kind of cool. Funny little stat, I guess.
Well, Stephen, thanks very much for taking the time to chat today. Really appreciate it. And I wish you all the best in your weeks of preparation as you prepare for Val Gardena.
No worries, George. Thank you, and I'll talk to you soon.
You've been listening to Stephen Nyman's Slopeside. In Boulder, Colorado, I'm George Thomas.